Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. Wednesday, July 19th, 7 p.m., Wasatch County Services Building, conference room, South 500 East, Heber City, Utah. So the first item on the agenda is public comments. Is there anyone here who would like to make any comments for something that's not on the agenda? Okay.
Have you guys seen a copy of the agenda?
Yeah, I have an online copy.
Okay.
Okay. We'll move to item two, which is business licenses. So we have a new license, which is Hungry Bunny Bakery. You have the application there, and so you're here. Would you like to say anything, or?
Looking forward to hopefully doing business over there in Daniel.
They are sharing space, or looking to share space with Cloudy Owl and the pretzel. Yeah.
And the application's in here?
Yes.
See what happened?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Could it be Eric?
Was it me?
Okay. So, anyone have any questions for the applicant?
This is desserts?
Yeah, we're primarily a custom bakery. Birthday cakes, wedding cakes, things like that. We also do a little bit of B2B. For example, we supply some of the pastries to OG Cafe. We've been around for...
4 years?
4 years.
Gotta keep things on the up and up. Okay.
I don't have any issue.
Okay. Looking for a motion for this one. Let's do the new one and then the renewals.
I would make a motion that we approve the business license for Hungry Bunny Bakery.
Second. All right. Any discussion?
Can we just recommend the planner to?
Yeah, we recommend to the council.
Yeah.
So do you want to amend?
That's why I need consent.
All right. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. Vote down.
Thank you.
Okay, then we have two renewals, which is Givens Grooming and Givens Gravel and Dumping Services. Do we have any complaints? There's none that I'm aware of.
No complaints.
Is there a call for motion again?
Motion to renew Givens Gravel and Dumping Business License. Is this a new one or it's a renewal?
No, there's two renewals.
Yeah.
There's so, the grooming and the gravel.
So
they're both from Givens.
Yeah.
Done. Same motion.
Okay, so you're making a motion to have both of them?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, number three on the agenda is an ag building discussion. This came out just because it's costing the town a fair amount because there's no charge for those. And we're actually not following Utah State Code exactly, although it is on our application. So,
and what were we not following?
Okay, if you look on the application, so this is Utah Code 15A-1-204-7. And yeah, look at Eagle's application because it's on the president's application. So it says, an ag building is not exempt from a permit requirement if the structure is located on land that is in within the boundaries of a city or town on less than 5 contiguous acres or within a subdivision for which the county has approved a subdivision plat and less than 2 contiguous acres. So at this point, the town hasn't required that.
What's the lot size of the building on?
What's that?
What's the lot size of this building on?
I think this is,
this is not.
General discussion.
This is a discussion.
When we get into what's the ag buildings going forward.
Yeah. The Ingles permit's already been issued, it followed our standard process. Question is, do we want to continue ignoring that section or?
Does he have 5 acres? I understand the problem, sorry. So,
no.
So forget about this building permit?
It has nothing to do with that application, other than.
General.
I said pull up that application just because it has that section of code.
We haven't been declaring the section of code, so we're going to begin enforcing the UDOT state law.
So the issue is that we're incurring costs as we give agricultural buildings out?
Significant costs.
Well.
Well, no, on some of them.
Significant, relative. We incur costs.
Based on our township income, a $5 cost is pretty significant to our overall budget.
Well, I don't know if $5 is, definitely two parallels. But state law allows us to charge for permits if those two items are done. And so what we're looking at, and that's why we brought it up, is because we are going in the hole on ag permits. And so if
just the cost to review outweighs the
fee? Yeah, just to issue the permit. Adura handles all of our applications, and of course, they're billing. And so
we don't charge?
We don't charge. We haven't charged for ag buildings, so that's what we're looking at, is trying to make the town whole. Overall, at the end of the year, we'll look at the permits and what we have and what it costs us, and we adjust. But this is one way that it would take care of a lot of those costs right up front.
We're going to fair fee structure.
Yeah. Well, it depends on, I mean, if the electrical, we have it down, it was $200 if they have electrical inspection. So if they do those things that need inspection, then we go ahead and recoup those costs. It's the ones that's bundled up the shell of the building, and we have no inspections, but we still incur the cost in issuing the permits.
What's our cost with, like, a pole barn with nothing in it? Like what?
Like $375 was the last ones that came out.
That's what the engineering people are charging
us? Right, because they go in, they fill out the permit, usually a couple of meetings, make sure they have their setback, site plan, everything that we require, and then that gets on to us.
Gotcha. So all the other ones, the electrical, plumbing, we're already recouping those, you're saying?
We are, yep. That helped, I clarified.
Yes, that helps, thank you.
Yeah, the thing that's not clear to me when I read it, and there's a little more than what's in here, is if they're still exempt from building requirements. And I don't have the answer for that, but I read it, it's taken either way. One step at a time, and I'm not saying that we should require that, but I'm just saying I don't know how to interpret that.
Am I correct in reading this that it sounds like if they're on more than 5 acres, we can't do anything?
That's what the state code says, yeah.
So this would only apply to 5 acres or less.
Right. That's
and
right.
Trying to put up an ag building.
Or in a subdivision.
Yeah. Which I get it, yeah, there's some of those, but probably fewer and far between them.
Well, it'd be less than 5 acres because it says less than 5 contiguous acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a conforming lot in the town
wouldn't get the
fee. Would not get the fee.
$175 seems awfully steep for an ag building fee, but some sort of fee makes sense. Sounds like we have to beat the engineers down a lot. Yeah. It's inefficient if it costs $400 to lower the basic building.
What does that include? What does that entail? Where's the $300, or is that just a base rate for?
It's our hourly rate. Most of the time it's me, but it's phone calls with the applicants, going over questions, code, coming in. A lot of people like to fill out the forms in person. We go over their site plan, make sure they meet setbacks, send it to Eric, make sure everything's okay. Then I have to issue a permit, and it just takes time.
So there really is no engineering problem. It's literally setbacks.
With an ag building, yeah. Unless there's electrical or plumbing where we'll have to review and have an inspection, yes.
How many do we get a year?
Well, last month we had five.
So we got a lot.
We seem to be getting a lot more requests for those. It's a slippery slope because everybody says, yeah, they want one because it doesn't cost money, but you're limited on what you can do in that building. So.
Well, here's my concern, though, is everybody builds one of those buildings and then they do with it what they want.
It's a concern, I agree.
So what are the other fee structures for different types of buildings?
We have a whole free structure that we've adopted.
What's the next cheapest one?
So your accessory unit, is that your next step up? That we're going that way, or?
Well, it's like we have a driveway fee that you'll be looking at pretty soon. I mean, it's just, they just, what happens is our engineering firm will say this is what our, we'll do it for, and we adopt that fee schedule, and that's what we do it for. So that's done every few years.
So, I guess for an ag building, do we need to submit that to engineering? Can our planner not look at the plat and say setbacks at 50 feet for an animal from the house, from the, do you know what I mean? If it's literally setbacks or anything like that.
If I'm hearing this correctly, they're coming in, filling out the form of familiar, asking questions about setbacks.
It's the admin side of it.
What do we do? Is that true, or?
Yeah, it depends on each applicant, but some people submit them on their own. Some people like to come in and go over everything. It really is a case-by-case basis.
That's what I'm saying, is does that have to go to our engineering firm as opposed to our plan?
It has to go to Adura, because that's the drop-off point the town is designated for.
Yeah.
The deposit of applications.
Maybe there's a full fee if they want their hand held through the process.
Well, it's probably cheaper if they come and have our helper to start with than if they submit and then we have to call them to come back in and fix. So,
straighter line.
Yeah, it's much better if they do show up. If when they drop it off, if they meet with somebody in the office and they're able to direct them with those things, because I mean, by the time it gets to me and I'm like, nope, take foot, doesn't meet setback.
Yeah.
Right back to square one, so.
So that then entails you to make a phone call or someone to make a
I
phone call to the applicant?
I just email back and then she contacts.
Applicant,
because I'm not
say,
open during the week.
Yeah.
She is. They can come and they, address, that's why we hired them, because they're there, they're a drop-off point, they're a contact.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
But the application that we're looking at later was one that we talked about because people had noticed they started
sure.
to put up a building. There was no building permit. Now they submitted the building permit, so we have to have, if somebody thinks it's okay to just go ahead and put up an ag building and then we don't have anybody to help them through the process, and clearly we did, and now that's why that's being presented to you.
The fee structure makes sense, so sure. You got to figure out how to scale it with size, I would think.
Yeah, where's the line between like an ag building and just like a shed? I mean, is it just whether or not it's fixed?
Square footage. Or,
well, anything over 1,500 foot, of course, is a conditional use.
Uh-huh.
It's not an ag building.
Sure.
So it goes through that process. But everything else, ag buildings are exempt from that 1,500, so.
But like if you put a tough shed up, should you have an ag permit?
No, because it's 200 foot. Any bigger than
200 foot is where that threshold crosses.
Yes, then you'll need a permit after that.
Or a big tough shed in the ag facility.
Yeah. Just trying to understand what we're what we're trying to catch here and what can not.
Yeah, and the town can surely incur costs when it comes to enforcement. I mean, if somebody's using it against what, but that's why in the application we have to sign up. But yeah, there it'll be a fight with the lawyers every time. So.
Yeah, no, I get it.
What's the fee structure for an accessory building?
That's based off of square footage.
It's also based, so say the 1,500, less than 1,500. Just, you don't have to be exact, but it's $400, $500.
Well, Todd Wall's building that we just passed the conditional use for, I got a check and it was close to $4,500.
Whoa.
But he had a lot of inspections and whatnot, so.
Because they can have more
that's
stuff
all,
in them.
Yeah, it's all figured in.
It's a building.
Yeah, it was a building.
It's more than an occupancy.
I think his is 40 by 60.
Okay.
His was around.
I think there should be some kind of.
4,500 too, and it was 40 by 60. So.
But that's inclusive of electrical and plumbing and concrete.
And it was about the same.
That's building code.
Yeah.
Inspections.
Okay.
And engineering.
Sure.
Yeah. And we just make sure they know that we're not engineering their ag building. If it falls down, it's on them. I mean, it's
literally.
So is there a way to strip down?
Is there a way to strip down that 4,500 or whatever the fee is into just a square footage base without inspections, without an apple and apple number?
Do you think it takes an hour of your time? I mean, in a general range, how much time? On a simple ag building, simple being a loose term, do you think it takes an hour?
If an application comes in perfect, it'll probably take me 2 hours.
So and minimum of a couple hours.
Yeah, and my rate, which I'm the cheapest that bills to you guys, I'm 110.
But
so
just I didn't know how long it even takes. So
yeah,
a couple
but
hours.
Like the extensive ones, like the Polsons, I know they went to an actual accessory structure, but. I spent 20 hours with
that.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah.
And Ryan's been a few hours.
Don't leave now, it's just getting good. Or leave while you can.
Yeah, I would run.
So it just depends.
It varies, of course, but just trying to think of a place to start.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it really doesn't vary by square footage because there's still setbacks, everything else, there's no engineering or anything. So.
So what's the process to put a fee structure in place? Applicants.
I think this board would make a recommendation to
the council.
To the council.
Because it's a legislative act.
Yeah.
Right. And we wouldn't have to make any recommendation on what the fee is, council.
Just that we start charging.
They may ask
to recoup our
They may ask us.
They might. They haven't
just
yet.
Just put it as
have they?
Charge to recoup our outlays.
Right, and our one application that we have online is cost plus. So basically what we incur is what we charge. And so we could do something like that also. The problem is, the only downside of that one is that now we have to track it.
By applicant. What a mess.
Yeah.
Which now costs more.
I mean, if somebody wants to appeal their fees, we still have to do that, but it takes a long time. We've had that happen. So.
I don't like that idea. I think you just ought to have a set number. I get the idea of having it perfect, but
my notes from staff meeting, the kind of number that was just thrown out was $250. That was just kind of.
But our average is 300 and something, and so we're still going in the hole.
Yes,
but less in the hole.
Less in the hole, but I'd like to keep my head above water.
Agreed.
Why go in the hole at all?
If we're going to set a fee structure, let's make it so that we're
covering it.
Breaking even, worst case scenario. And you might make a buck on some.
Well, we can't really make money on permits, so we have to be careful.
That won't be the intent, but.
Okay.
But you know what your average is.
No, it won't.
We are able to track our fees per permit. So, I mean, we do that already in our invoice. We break out all the planning invoices one, but each phase is a new permit.
So then why wouldn't we go to a cost plus if they're already tracking?
Well, that's just them. It's the town still, you haven't figured in anything for the town. any time for me, any time for Ken, all of it. That's not all the fees. So, I mean, we don't track them individually.
Eric and I don't.
So $250 isn't going to be...
No, it was just, that was just thrown out as a starting place.
Which is a drop off.
And your fees are somewhere around $300, $350 average.
Probably, yeah.
Just looking on the last billing, that's what I did.
So you're going to be $400 to get that certification.
Yeah, give or take.
Yes, it's a lot.
Might be a good place to
because
start.
Because if they show up, if they've done their homework, they know the setbacks and they have their site plan, they're in and out pretty simple.
Right, and I'm saying it seems like if you're prepared to do everything correctly, that's a pretty high fee for no value added.
Right. Yeah, the person that shows up, I guess it's the highest fee, the person that has all their done through, the other person.
Yeah,
is it a way to structure it to where this is the fee and you get a reimbursement check if you're so many hours with us? Well, the heavy tracking appears to already be being tracked.
I'd like to see some numbers in it before we set a fee. $400 seems really inefficient to me. And if somebody, I was just conferring with Bridger, but if I have Roger or somebody else in actual engineer draft me plans, and it's a rubber stamp effort from you, why would I pay $400? It's just incremental additional fees that I know we got to cover costs, but I think I'd like to better understand the cost. That's my line of work, I guess.
So can we make a motion to the city council that we think there should be a fee and we're unclear on what that number should be, maybe some further research by, I don't know, us, them, somebody, but that we do recommend, make a motion that we would recommend a fee? Again, I have no idea what. Maybe we need more information on numbers.
Can you wait till I get my barn built?
No.
This won't. Well, it'll be.
I'm trying to save myself $400. I know. Yes,
have your ducks in a row.
That's right. Nothing's passed yet. Hurry up.
It is nice to reward people when that do have their ducks in a row.
I would suggest we make a recommendation to
make a fee.
That we would close a fee for all applications.
Accept a motion if someone would like to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we recommend, the Planning Commission recommends to the town council that we charge a fee. I don't even know the right
term.
Would
you like nominal fee?
To be determined as fee.
To be determined
based
fee.
Based on review of average cost structure.
Yes. Thank you. A double motion.
Sure.
Okay.
I'd second that motion. Stated.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Well,
did you want to add on a fee for what? For an ag building?
For an ag building, sorry, we probably should specify that.
I put that in.
Okay. Specifically, since that's the only one right now that is common one that nothing is being charged. Yep.
Only for those that are on less than 5 acres or less than 2 in a subdivision, apparently, per state law, I assume you want to include in that.
I think you just leave it out. That way it's going to cover any time somebody wants to build a...
I don't think we can.
Can we do it?
I think this is...
No, you can't. The state won't allow it.
The state law says no, you can't do it.
Okay, so then it's not an issue.
But if I remember right...
Doesn't mean we won't try to assess that we're not allowed to do.
Under the subdivision and agricultural protection zone.
I want it clear wherever it is.
Clear is good.
2 acres.
Yeah, in agricultural protection zone.
So basically, there are no agricultural protection zones in the town that I'm aware of right now. So it would be anything under 5 acres would require a fee.
Or in a subdivision?
No, it has to be in an agricultural protection zone.
Okay, so subdivisions are exempt from that?
Does that help?
No, it has to be a subdivision in an agricultural protection zone.
Okay. How many ag building permits for smaller than 5 acre lots are you?
I don't think we had any in the last month that was on 5 acre. I think they were all small.
So those didn't do anything for us then?
No, they were all less than 5 acres.
Yeah, and I think that's why I brought it up is because we've incurred those costs. There's no way
4.97
or something if we don't do something.
Our goal should be to break even.
Yeah, but if you're only charging it on smaller lots, I don't know, is that half, is it a third, is it 25%?
It was all of them last month, but the month before, of course, they were over 5 acres.
So it depends.
So
everything
it's going to need to be cost,
will allow us to charge it, right?
Cost plus probably to recoup everything. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
But are you allowed? The best thing to do would be to streamline it as much as possible so that the town doesn't incur as much cost or right. The applicants don't incur as much cost. So that's a challenge, but
and so possibility. And we don't want to encourage people to avoid the permit process. It's too expensive to do that.
They'll just, yeah.
They'll split it out.
And that's why a lot of come as agricultural buildings and then they get repurposed. Mm-hmm. But we've had a couple of that's cost them a whole bunch of money, so.
Yeah. Tulsa Town a whole bunch of money too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have the motion from Pam, TJ second.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Porter, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Motion passes.
Is that clear enough?
Yes.
Okay, the next item is Eagles Ag Building application. See that enclosed. Packet.
What did you say?
Sorry.
Ingalls.
Oh.
Is it already approved or no?
Ingalls. Where?
I believe the permit's already been issued. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's basically information
only. Oh, that one. Gotcha. I still
got it. Yeah, I went out and issued a stop work order on this. Talked to Tom on the porch for a while. He wasn't aware when he was back in the, when it was county, they didn't. There was no permit for an ag building, so they wasn't aware of that. So they went ahead and submitted a site plan, and everything is meets the setbacks. We went ahead and issued the permit.
So I was thinking they were 12 feet on the site, the setbacks. Isn't that the requirement?
So it's a 10-foot setback.
Oh, 10.
Yeah. Okay. And the sum of two.
It says 11.
And the sum of two setbacks, it's, our code says, will equal 24. So it's kind of weird.
10 plus 10 equals 24.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that way. So if they crowd it on one side, then they have to add on the other side of the setback. That's the way the code reads.
Okay. Nice.
But we have a 10-foot PUE around all the lots, the new lots. So we have public utility easement. We won't allow them to put anything in that. They did comply. He just back when Robert McDonald was issuing the permits, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Item 5, which is non-conforming lots and non-conforming use discussion. So in your packet, Kim has included everything that I should find in our code on non-conforming lots. There's also been a lot of confusion about a non-conforming use. What is a non-conforming use and what's a non-conforming lot? Does anybody understand the difference between those two?
One's a size thing and one's what you do with it?
Yeah. So if it's residential, you've got a commercial building on it, that's a non-conforming use. But the lot, non-conforming lot, means that it's deficient in frontage or acreage or, you know, some other item.
Okay.
So then,
what do we need to discuss about it?
Well, we need to look at how do you decide if a lot is a non-conforming lot of record, which means you can do something with it, or a non-conforming, illegally created lot, which you're kind of stuck?
Yeah. I thought this outlined it pretty well, these three steps right here. Non-conforming lot record determination. It's got a 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And make one or more false findings.
So here was, I had this discussion with somebody the other day. We have some of these, obviously, in the town.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people come in here, and basically they can do nothing with them besides grow weeds. They can camp for a couple of days, and then they gotta leave, whatever 16-day camp permit. It becomes an eyesore. They become a fire hazard. They become a weed spreader. So, we just like that in our town and nothing going on.
You don't, but do you like somebody decides to quit claim deed an acre to their cousin? And the cousin says, well, I have this property, I can't do anything with it. Didn't follow any of the subdivision ordinances. Do we want to encourage that? So that's what you're going to get about.
Is that creating a lot right now? Because a quit claim deed. Are you saying if somebody's got 10 acres and they quit claim deed an acre for a building lot or what? What
yeah.
are you saying?
There have been several.
That would be a non-conforming lot at that point, right?
And no. A subdivision.
No, it's an illegal subdivision because yeah. they didn't go through the subdivision process.
So I don't see the issue. So these are current, already created lots.
Yeah, and a lot of them were created that way. Somebody just quit mm-hmm. claim deed a piece of their property without going through the subdivision requirements.
Before the town was created through Wasatch
right.
County.
But Wasatch County still required subdivision happened, so this happened in a lot of cases without the county being aware of it or anybody else. All you have to do is go to file quickly.
So you're right. And so we just designate those as our open green space?
I don't know. I'm just saying That's the discussion.
Because if we let people build on all of those, the whole town's
going
to get split up.
Yeah, our, that's right.
Yeah. I talked. The Property Rights Ombudsman has a paper on this that was written probably 5-6 years ago that talks about it. And
summarize it.
A little bit. I mean, I read it at the time because my daughter was working for them and she actually wrote it. She had an internship. But, so their suggestion is basically if that happened, they really had to rejoin the property and then subdivide it correctly. Things that happen further back, then it's, what do you do? It's now been sold a million times. And then, the town kind of has to decide, and it's, what are those requirements? Because you don't want to encourage illegal subdivisions, but you also don't want these basically weed patches in the town. It makes no sense for anyone. So, but we also have to handle them the exact same way for every person that comes in. Fairly. So how do we do that? That's why we're just bringing up this discussion tonight. I don't know if we want to take any action, but just for everyone to start thinking about it. How do you do it? How do you handle it? And, if you're curious, go to the Property Rights Ombudsman for the state's website. They have all these summary opinions. What their interpretation of the laws are, support cases, what's worked, what hasn't worked.
can you do besides the zoning change to something less than RA5?
I don't know. Especially, I mean, if it was created legally, yeah, there are things you can do because, you know, our town code says if it was created legally and it conformed to the zoning at that time, and the process was done according to what the process was defined to be at that time, then it should be buildable.
Is there a way to redefine conforming to be more inclusive?
But if you do that, then you're going to encourage
the next guy to do it.
I mean, the state's done some things. So, for example, real estate agent sells an illegally divided lot, and they can lose their license. So, you know, there's
trying to prevent growth of the issue, I guess.
Yeah.
The legislature looks at it every year. They're looking at ways that the subdivide is going to have to go to municipalities, wherever that would be, the county or city, and they have to file it there so that this doesn't happen. This is an ongoing problem. Yet we're not alone in this. Every municipality has it. And there's a ton of people that come in and they've acquired a lot. And they're like, well, what can I do with it? You've taken away every value. It's like, you can continue to do what's been happening on that law for the last 20 years. That's what you can do.
There's worse things to do with your money than sit on dirt, but yeah, it is, in the nearer term, useless.
Right.
What? How many of these non-conforming lots do we think we have? A dozen, 20?
Counted.
Two dozen?
Yeah. When we did our mapping, we looked at those lots.
Sorry, non-conforming lots that aren't built on.
Yeah, we're talking
non-conforming lots that are vacant.
We're talking like around 40, give or take a couple,
that are vacant.
Do you want me to go get my map? I have it in my car.
You can't tell from the map.
Well, you're going to get rained on.
Yeah, they won't get a record or not, whether they're buildable.
So, recently we had somebody come here and say, hey, if I had this 3-acre lot and my next door neighbor has 10 acres, and I buy 2 acres from him, he still has 7. I have 5. Can I build on that?
And the answer
would be yes.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of process they have to go through first? Or is that enough?
They have to reverse that subdivision part and bring it back into compliance.
Redivide.
So is there some kind of a subdivision process they have to go through?
Yes. There is. It has to be subdivided and recorded at the county.
Yeah,
so
but I think it actually can happen through a lot line adjustment, if I read that correctly.
It can,
I'm sure.
But the lot line adjustment has a different criteria, so it's a little bit harder to jump through a lot line adjustment. It's cheaper, because you don't have to get a survey.
Yeah. Park inside.
So
yes, you could make a lot.
That would have no problem if people did that.
Right.
Well, I'm guessing those aren't the people that are all worked up, though.
Well, and there's a lot that, you know, as the county changed to 1 acre, they thought, oh, before they change things back, I want to subdivide. So they claim deed an acre to themselves. And it's still owned by them or by whoever after them. And so in those cases, the ombudsman says, okay, you just put it back together and then subdivide it correctly according to the current laws.
Sure.
And we do have a bunch of those in the town that they've carved that 1 acre of houses on. And that's separate from the rest of the property.
The county did allow that for a while. They let them down to 1 acre in the house in this area. But if they actually went and did a subdivision, because subdivisions were required when that happened, then they're okay. But most of them just thought, well, I'm just going to state this off and I'll just quit claim deed it to myself because $15 filing fee.
So in that case then the 1 acre with the house isn't conforming, but would the say other 8 acres, if that's what it was, I don't know what hypothetical number there, would we allow that 8 acre piece to be a buildable one?
Yeah.
The way it's our code is now?
We'd have to have frontage.
Yeah, meet all those other requirements.
That 8 acres would work. It's just the 1 acre that is going to be a mess.
Well, I think that's what Gary's saying. If it's all owned by the same person when they did that,
uh-huh.
And so that makes it illegal if they've sold that to do that. They created an illegal lot by doing that. If it was legal at the time, they recorded it, then yes. But if they didn't go through the process, it's an illegal lot.
Sorry, I'm not following so the process. If they quit claim, if they carved them up and they've got 1 acre with their house,
right,
and divided the other 8 acres into its own little lot, just as a lot line adjustment, boundary change, whatever.
Yeah, and
not as a subdivision.
Right. So they would have had to have gone through the process and have that recorded at the county. So that wouldn't be, it wouldn't show up on our map. It would be recorded at the county.
I think you're saying they built the house on the 1 acre they needed themselves and left 8 acres.
But here's outside, yeah. That's what I'm just trying to understand. Would that eight be buildable in our mind?
If they sold that 8 acres to someone else, it's an illegal subdivision. So the state would say it's an illegal sale. Which makes the whole thing messed up. But
unless the 1 acre was legally
split off.
Then they could
do that and then either build on the 8 acre.
So we have that very scenario.
I'm sure there's a lot of those.
Yeah, we have that very scenario. There was a 1 acre peeled off, gave to us some. The family had the rest of the acreage, 7.5 acres. They sold the 7.5 acres. Well, now somebody else owns that 7 acres. The son still owns the 1 acre. They're both illegal lots. Neither one of those lots are able to process a permit. They're both illegal lots. If the bank picks up on that, they'll call the note on them. And somehow that got past the bank when it was sold, unless they didn't fund it. I don't know. Because they won't loan on an illegal lot.
This is recent?
Yeah, like 3 years ago is when that lot was sold. So the owners called me and they told me it's in the law. They're like, we'll take the risk. Okay. Hmm. I mean, you can't control everything that goes on until it comes to when they want something. It's like, sorry, you're in the law. We can't do that.
So at what point does that come up? How is that caught? Like if somebody comes here saying, I have a 7 acre lot, I want a building permit. Is that when there's some kind of a search with the county recorder and that's when it's red flagged or?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when we look at
the company issue, right?
Yeah, and that's when we look at that. I mean, we're not out looking for these, but
sure,
they come with a permit and then that's when we look to plans. We look at all that stuff and it's like, oh, wait a minute.
So we don't do that. The planning does that then?
Yeah.
You guys are doing those searches, because I would say a 7 acre lot thing.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Through.
7 acres.
Yeah, it sounds good. Until you look,
get frontage, blah blah blah. Yep.
Right, and then of course our code says that if they say that that's not the case, the burden of proof's on the applicant. They have to prove that it was done legally.
Right.
I can tell you, I've done some extensive searches.
I'm sure you have.
And I know Endura's done some extensive searches. And probably spent more money and time than we should have, but we really do try. And you know, if there's a way to
get there,
right?
Yes. No, I think that's correct.
Okay. As I saw on the real estate, one of those sites, there's a 3 acre parcel on 3,000. They're trying to sell.
We can't talk about that. It's
anyway, they are trying to sell as a buildable lot, and it's like.
Yeah, that listing's been changed now. If you go to the new listing, it says.
I'm sorry, say that again?
That listing has been changed on 3000 South. It now says it is not a buildable lot.
So, well, I guess you could buy it, put your cows on for $1 million.
Or you can buy it thinking the zoning's going to change, or
hedge your bets.
Or you can prove that it's a buildable lot. Actually, there are a lot of options, but.
Yeah.
But it's not black and white.
It is not.
We need to just think through and brainstorm.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something, and again, it's been brought up about the weed patch. Is this something that, you know, the town wants to see? At some point, I mean, it's like, that affects the town. You get these properties that aren't being taken care of, and so what do you do at that point? That's something that you guys
have to. Well, theoretically, our code says you still have to maintain your lot.
That's correct.
That's what it says, yeah.
And the other thing is, it's got to be big enough to have a septic tank.
Yeah, we've got inhabited lots that are worse than our uninhabited.
Yeah.
Can you take public comments right now?
Sure.
Yeah.
So when this agenda item got put on from the council, my question that I asked the council last week was, who do I need to go to get a lot of record determination? With the county, you pay $130, give them these four items, and someone decides if the lot was legal or not. I've been trying to do that for 3 months with manuals, and you just don't have the process, and I understand that, but I just don't know if it's the planning commission or the council who's actually gonna, that's kind of the question that we want answered, that I thought that's why it was on the agenda tonight, but clearly that's not happening. But the lot of record determination, is there someone, I have the proof that the lot was created legally. I need to give that to someone. The state ombudsman told me, then it's the town of Daniel, and I don't know if it's the planning commission or the council. They then need to provide me if it was, if they have some proof that it wasn't created legally. And they said, you know, created legally just means it met the zoning requirements at the time when it was created, and this particular lot was. And I have all that evidence. I just need to know who to submit it to. And I understand you don't have those processes, but I thought that's maybe what this agenda item was.
Doesn't that go to the people that accept our applications?
Yeah, they could ask for an application.
I think you could just send that to them.
What else? Our direct.
Where?
822083.
Yeah, the planning director makes a decision.
Actually, it says the planning commission.
Perfect.
Which I didn't really like, that's true.
Well, I think there's a bigger issue in that because it also involves legal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
So I guess the question is, would it go to you and then get put on our agenda here?
It would probably go to legal before it come to your agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, who does the due diligence on her stated facts, right? So she's dug up everything. Who then goes back and verifies the information they have provided?
So planning staff will look at it. If it's not even close, it's not even going to go. If it's close, it'll probably go to legal for a determination because they're the one that's going to have to defend it. So we go send that to the attorneys, and they'll make a recommendation to us. Then it would come back to you.
It comes here
for approval based on this.
Whatever it is with the recommendation.
Yeah, it says the plan.
An application for
a lot of record certificate.
Yeah.
But so is there a list of things that the planning would look for in that packet, like a checklist of three or four things like Wasatch County has? When they're making that determination,
it would be the same items.
Three items.
Okay, it would be the same items. We've had some that have turned in a lot of record certificate, and they've been allowed to build on some of those lots.
So this lot doesn't have a certificate, so that's what we're looking for.
That's the problem.
The county told us they can't give it to us because it's not their jurisdiction, so the state ombudsman is the one who actually told me that Daniels has to give me that certificate.
Again, we have to be careful. This is under litigation.
No, I'm talking in general, just a lot of record determination.
No, you're talking about a specific lot, and that specific lot is in litigation.
Okay, well, I don't want to talk about the specific lot. I just want to know.
Yeah, she's asking what the process is.
Okay. Yep.
And I think that's
send
fair.
It to him. Right.
Agreed.
And yeah. If you'd like a copy of just what I cut out of the code, I'm not saying it's complete. I'm not saying it's incomplete. But I don't know. But if you'd like this, you're more than welcome to it.
Here, I can give him a whole packet. You
no,
got
thanks.
It.
We take the whole packet too.
You want the whole packet?
I believe, I'm trying to remember where it was, I believe it also says that even with that, it does not guarantee it's going to be a lot.
Well, right. It has to be in county health, it has to be fire, there's a bunch of.
Yeah, the lot of record doesn't.
Setbacks, doesn't, lot width.
Right. Doesn't mean it's built.
Keep the other
yeah,
stuff because
right.
It has personal information.
Oh, okay. No worries.
How big is the lot?
3.71 acres, but we're not talking about any specific lot.
Yeah, I understand, yes.
But it's
so you're past septic requirements.
There's a section of three lots that are identical to that aren't under litigation, that are literally identical, and they're non-conforming lots, but they all have septic. They all were subdivided when it was RA3, and the next door neighbor, Barry Dixon, has a certificate of zoning compliance for from Bob Mathis that was recertified by Doug Smith, and he's living in his house.
Therefore, they're not identical.
And we can't talk, and we can't talk about it anyway.
And, you know, it's always going to be current septic requirements, current building requirements.
Yeah, they're, so, obviously.
And I don't know that there's a problem. In fact, there probably isn't, but I'm just saying it. It could be a not, any lot can be a non-conforming lot of record and not be buildable. And in fact, there may be conforming lots that aren't buildable for some reasons.
Yeah.
It could be slope, it could be...
Cubicles for a septic.
Soil stability, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, there's a ton of reasons, but...
But that would still be the first step, is to determine whether or not it's a...
Yeah.
A lot is conforming or non-conforming, or is it not
legal?
Lot of record, yeah, is legally created. So, yeah, my suggestion is that you all think about that. I think the town does need a process. And what should that process be? And, you know, we can talk about more about that in our next meeting.
This feels like a work session type of a...
It probably is.
And you could even, I mean, you could even, when you're looking at that, say that if it was created before this time, that that's something you'd look at, and after this time is not. When the state come up with the subdivision ordinances that they had to go through, I mean, that's
When did the county first require?
Right. Another line in the sand. Those are dates you can actually...
Yeah.
Have some backing on.
It's hard to find those dates, but
it is.
And I kind of backed into it by looking at subdivisions and seeing what date they were created.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole when you go on the county website. You can, for hours, you can look up stuff.
So anyway, I think that would help the town, help the people that have property, make it a little more clear.
Or at least establish a process that folks can go
make
through.
Make sure that we're treating everyone the same.
Yeah. I think that's a good
word.
So do we want to try to schedule does it make sense to have like a joint thing like we did? Town council.
It might, but I don't know that how urgent this is, so depending on how I would say let's work on it until the next meeting, depending on how big the agenda is for the next meeting. We can take some time then, or we can schedule it.
I think it's fairly urgent, because you're going to have all kinds of people come in, and we've had them before. Almost every meeting, it seems like, that I've been to in a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's a recurring. This has been... this and storage sheds have been our most common issue.
But also, until legal issues are ironed out, we shouldn't touch it at all.
Well, we can't change the existing code, or it won't change that for anyone. But, you know, going forward.
But establishing that process is probably pretty urgent, is what I'm trying to say. Making the decision on exactly whether something's legal or illegally created, that's not for us to determine right off. That's a legal issue.
Well, and the process is actually defined too, now in the code.
Yeah.
And so anyone applying now would follow that process until there's a change. And I'm not sure that there's a problem with the code or that we'd even want to change things, but I think we may want to clarify things and make it so that everyone understands exactly what has to happen.
The next town council meeting is August 7th, so I don't know if you guys want to look at some dates in between that meeting and your next planning commission meeting, or you want to look at it after?
I still think until the legal's ironed out, we don't have to talk about it. Period.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
There's a pending lawsuit right now with the town, so this is something that... we just need to, that's going to slow it all down, so let's try to wait for that.
Which my rep seat says that goes away if I could just get the certificate. I know you don't have any interest in that, but as soon as I purchase the lot, there's no lawsuit. But
I don't think it's going to work that way.
I know.
Something to think about. That's why you guys make the big bucks.
Zero bucks.
Don't have my pay.
Okay.
Okay. So be thinking about that. Find a report.
Sorry. You got that in your packets?
Yep.
Yep.
There's all your ag permits on there. So one of them, two of those are on 5 acres, two of them are.
So two out of the five are on 5 acres?
Yes.
Brad's got 5 acres.
While you're looking at that, I will pass this out. The Board of Adjustment did uphold your decision in denial of a permit. This is the letter that the town sent to the applicant in the Board of Appeals, and that's from Gordon Law offices. That was their rebuttal of why that was a mistake. Like I said, the Board of Appeals did find that you did not err in rejecting or denying the application. Just so you're aware of that.
Mary Duggan supported or put together an action report, and that was signed by the new chair, Heber Taylor, and that was sent to the appellants.
Just for your reading pleasure.
Which some of it is still. So there's this feeling that you cannot add on to a house in an non-conforming lot, which is totally false.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot in that letter that is totally false. Yeah, but that's the Board of Adjustments has to weed through that, figure out what claims are being made. There's some good ones in there.
How old is this permit? When was it denied?
It was denied.
This was the Smith Garage permit.
April or May.
The garage was too close to the road.
April or May, I think, is when
you
guys
were this.
It was completely on setbacks.
So kind of straightforward.
Yeah, it was just setbacks.
Okay. That's good then, I guess.
That's good. It can still go to district court. That's the next step. If they want to appeal to district court, but the Board of Appeals did uphold that decision. So that's, I just wanted to make you aware of that. You're able to read those documents to see what the claims were.
I know Councilman Pearson had some meetings with residents about the water system, and he said that came up in those meetings, people saying, well, you've heard about it from a lot of Canada on. So there's a lot of misinformation that's been spread through.
Crazy acres or whatever.
Yeah.
From David.
Yeah. Any other questions on the planning report?
Mr. Gordon even said that the town of Daniel purchased three lots. The town of Daniel purchased three lots to entice or strong arm Stormhaven into coming into the town. Exactly. The town of Daniel's never had enough money to buy three lots then or now. So that was completely false, but he brought that up in testimony. Besides that was the most egregious thing
name?
That was said. Corbin Gordon. Gordon
so
Locker.
Lawyer?
Yes.
He's a local.
And then the other thing that somebody mentioned earlier that you probably ought to be aware of is that the CO was issued on the WIT.
Yes.
Business park.
So they got all their clients pulled or whatever you wanted them to do?
Yep, they did. Scott and me met them on site. They did what they was told
nice.
To do, and that was issued. So that's why you guys were able to recommend.
That didn't take very long, huh?
Yeah.
Once they got it together.
Not bad.
Any other questions for planning?
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks.
Okay. Julie, do you have anything?
Yeah, I continue to work with Nancy at NAC on finding funding options for program and upgrades. There's an Army Corps of Engineers grant that she thinks we would be a good applicant for, so we're looking for those options still. Haven't made any real progress, but we're still trying to see what we can get.
That's to do what?
The Stormhaven upgrades the whole water system to the tank.
We submitted a brick grant and a notice of intent and NOI for the whole system, but it was several million dollars because it would be a tank, upgrading the system, everything. But it's a 70-30 split or 75-25 depending, so we would still have to come up for funding for that other 30%. And so working on securing those funds as well, because we can't really accept a large grant and still have to pay 30% out. But it would take the what do you call that shed? The house? The pump house out, because the pump house is in a flood zone, which is why we could apply for that grant. But then it would also upgrade and put a tank up there and perhaps address fire. Some fire hydrants would be a great idea in that area. Some other things. This is all Stormhaven. It's all Stormhaven.
Did they have any flooding this year?
Just minor. It was really
pretty
minor.
Good.
Surprisingly.
That was crazy. That was the perfect scenario for coming on. The creek moving and then right down, it was so fast.
Oh, speaking of
now it's dry.
Stormhaven, so just on a side note, I sent you all the Wasatch County Fire Department finally sent out their fire restrictions. That's the first I've seen it. I've called a couple of times. Anyway, so you guys all have that in your inbox. It includes a map. Stormhaven is kind of this little place that it's allowing it, but everywhere around, and then the backside of Little Sweden is all in the no fireworks zone. I was actually surprised they didn't go to 3,000 south. But
the upper end of Big Hollow was too,
according to
the map, but not from the gravel pit out to 3,000,
which
is surprising.
Yeah, so no big fireworks shows at your house.
Can the north side of Little Sweden is allowed?
Not at my house.
Well,
come on.
The word Daniel, right where TJ's house is.
Class C is allowed, so.
Well, they were open.
Yeah. I was that neighbor that called the sheriff on Class B's that were doing it right next to a field over the fourth that hadn't been mowed yet. And I was like, are you for real? Right up next to their giant 50-foot tree, next to the hay field that hadn't been cut yet. So I imagine
shoot him towards Byron.
Yeah, I imagine they're going to be, since he's issued this, they're going to be looking for more of the incendiaries that are, you know, more vertical. But
okay.
All right, anything else for the, okay. Let's move to item 8, which is meeting minutes. Doesn't have a chance to look at that.
Good, really nice again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
Someone
sounds
like to make a motion.
What I remember.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from the June 21st meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, any comments or discussion? Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes. McGinn abstain, I was absent.
Horner abstain, absent. Bennett, yes.
Wait, yes. Then move to item 9. We have a motion.
I'll motion that we adjourn.
Second.
I'll second.
I was waiting for that. There was a delay there.
Nobody was jumping.
Somebody had
to. Somebody doesn't want to go home.
Anybody get up to stay up there?
No, I'd like to stay a little longer.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Thinking.
Eric, yes.
He voted.
The motion passes.
It's only 8:07.
And it wouldn't have anyway.
You couldn't stop it.